Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
About 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 229 in the series. Tonight is another classic radio extravaganza. This is November 4th, 2017. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
We have Shante Garth in the booth, our producer, and we have Gunsmoke to start things off from 1952. Then it's Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life. Then we have Jeff Regan, Investigator. So a Western, a comedy, and a detective, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film Red Sparrow, about a ballerina who is recruited to Sparrow School, where she is forced to use her body as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner gets a gift certificate for a Lou Malnati's for $25.
Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Best pizza ever.
All right, call 312-981-7200. That's the number if you'd like to win. Here is a hint. This actor played Aramis, the bad guy, in The Man in the Iron Mask.
It's Judgment Day.
All right. Who is that great actor with that terrific voice? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is show 229 of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
It's Judgment Day.
It's Judgment Day, Lisa.
Yes. Bill, how are you?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Glad you're with us. Who is that fine actor?
That's Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons is the correct answer. Bill, you are a winner. We are thrilled to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you for starting off the show with us tonight, Bill.
Thank you very much. I will keep listening.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Bill.
And I wanted to give a quick shout out to our favorite group of ladies who are having their beverage of choice tonight, which is mint juleps. So I know they're out there listening. And
that's right.
We are their favorite show for the weekend. So that's a big honor.
Clink to us.
There you go.
Clink to these classic radio shows,
thanks,
gals.
Thanks for texting in.
And we have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts, any of your questions you might have about the show, or if there's any programs you want to hear, or if you just want to ask Lisa and me something, that's the number. Text us, 312-981-7200. We see all the texts throughout the show. All right, we'll be here till 2 a.m. playing your favorite classic radio shows. We will not be on for an extra hour tonight. Dave Plyer will be picking up the extra hour because at midnight, right?
No. At 2.
At 2, okay. You turn the clocks
back to
backwards,
one.
Right?
But we still have a full three-hour show, but Dave Plyer will have a four-hour show
right.
tonight.
Okay, so we're going to start things off with Gunsmoke. Then a little later, it's You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx, and then Jeff Regan, Investigator. Gunsmoke was an adult Western, and it was created by Norman McDonald and John Meston. Came to radio in 1952. Lasted all the way to 1961. And these were stories in and around Dodge City, Kansas in the mid to late 1800s. And the main character was U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, played by William Conrad. His deputy was Chester Proudfoot, played by Parley Bear. Of course, it was adapted for television in 1955, which lasted all the way to 1974. And I think our fun fact this week is about Gunsmoke, right?
It is. You can check it out on our Facebook page. I have a photo and a little tidbit of information. You can check it out.
All right. But right now, let's go back to December 6, 1952. This show is called I Don't Know, and it stars William Conrad, part one of Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
What have you got there, Chester?
Half kid, Mr. Dillon. I'll smack you flat on the
hold it now.
You don't stop that kid.
Now hold it. You want me to take a strap to you? Now hold it.
You'd best lock him up somewhere, Mr. Dillon. It's safer that way.
All right, Chester, just calm down. Now you come over here, son. Sit down. Come on.
Look out, Mr. Dillon. He's got a hold of your gun.
Okay. Now, you sit there. And don't you move an inch. You hear me? Not one inch.
He is a mean little bug.
Now, what's it all about, Chester? What's he done?
I ain't done nothing.
Now, you hush your mean little face. This here place is the law, and you're talking
what's
to the
marshal. What's he done, Chester?
I ain't done nothing.
There, you hear that,
Chester?
Dillon? Yes, sir. Well, sir, I don't rightly know what he's done.
That's what I told you. I ain't done nothing.
Mr. Dillon, I was walking down to the office when I see this... this kid. I know most all the Sprouts in town, but not him, so I says, hello, and he starts running.
That's what he did?
Yes, sir.
And that's why you brought him in here?
I sure did, Mr. Dillon. I figured if a kid runs away from me for doing nothing, then he's been up to something, so he must have done something. You know what I mean?
No. Now, what's your name, son?
I ain't done nothing.
All right. Now, what's your name?
I ain't saying.
There, you see what I mean, Mr. Dillon? Just plain, ordinary, mischievous...
You live here in Dodge?
I ain't saying.
All right. Well, he's probably a runaway, Chester. I guess we'll have to lock him up until somebody comes looking for him, huh?
Best thing in this whole wide world to do, Mr. Dillon. Just look at where he gnawed my thumb. Best thing to do. Come on, you.
You ain't gonna lock me up?
Have you got a better idea? We gotta do something with you.
Let me be on my way.
Well, where do you live?
About 4 miles out.
Oh. Oh, sure. I know you. You're the Macklin kid.
No, I ain't. I'm Danny Birch, but... I ain't saying.
There, I knew he wasn't town kid. I just knew that, Mr. Dillon. What did I tell you?
Nothing. Now, if you'll just close up a minute, Chester, we can get this settled and Danny can go on his way. Now, you say you haven't done anything wrong, son?
No.
Your ma know you're in Dodge this morning?
Guess so.
All your chores done before you came?
No.
Well, maybe you better go on back then, huh? Your ma might be kind of worried.
Guess so.
You, got a horse?
Yeah.
Okay. So long. And take it easy.
I can go now?
Sure. Go ahead, Danny.
You're Marshal Dillon, ain't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess I come to Dodge to fetch you. My sister sent me.
Oh?
I wasn't going to, but I got to now, because I promised Lily. She made me swear on Rattler's buttons. I figure if I didn't see, I wouldn't be telling no lie if I told her you wasn't around. But now I've seen you.
Now, hold on. Your sister wants me to come out with you to your place, is that it?
Yeah.
Why?
On account of Pa. None of us gives a hoot excepting Sister Lily and... she's just acting like a girl.
Oh, what's happened to your pa?
He's gone off again, shooting up the cattle. Thing is, he took 2 guns with him this time and a whole mess of bullets. Lily's just scared.
Your pa been drinking a little, maybe?
Yes. Anyhow, he goes loco and stays that way for a long while. But it's like Dave and Donald say, he'll get over it, he always does. They're my brothers, Dave and Donald. They ain't worrying.
Uh-huh, Now, you want me to go out with you to help find him. Is that it?
I don't want it. Lily does. And I had to swear on railroad buttons that I'd fetch
you. Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Well, it's good that you did. Chester, get your stuff, will you? We'll ride out with Danny. I didn't get anything more out of the boy on the way out to the Birch place. No one in town knew much about the family. They'd moved in about a year earlier, came up from the territories. The folks about said Birch and his brood kept pretty much to themselves. There'd never been any trouble with anybody. I looked at the boy riding his horse bareback. He was nice looking enough, but there was something the matter with his mouth. It was too hard. You could tell he wasn't a kid who did much smiling. Maybe with his paw acting that way, I didn't blame him. He sure rode his horse proud, though. It was hot and dry, and by the time we were in sight of the Birch place, the sun was burning down hard.
Yeah, there he is.
Kid, get off on that horse and get over here. You're gonna get yourself a licking.
Lily made me go. It's not my fault.
Do as I say. Now, you, mister.
The name's Dillon. I'm the U.S. Marshal out of Dodge. Your brother asked me to come out and help.
Don't need no help. Shut up, Ham. Nothing to help with. Danny, you heard. Put the horse away and get in the house.
You ain't giving me no licking.
Put up your gun. I'm coming over to talk. Come on, Chester. It's against the law to shoot a man in cold blood. You know that?
Shucks, I wasn't aiming at you. I was aiming at a rabbit up in the rise there. Your horse is scattered away.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what about your paw?
What about him?
Have you found him?
Shucks, he don't need to be fired. He'll come back when he's good and ready. Pa's off hunting.
That's not what your brother says. He's... Where'd he go?
Oh, he's gonna get himself a licking, that's what, and he knows it. Grab himself away, that's what.
Donald, that's your name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not one to interfere in family matters, but if you do need help... I mean, if your pa's shooting up cattle like Danny says... Well, maybe he'll be... practicing next on people, and that wouldn't be so good.
That brother of ours, he's a dirty little liar.
No, he's not, Donald.
I'm glad you came, Marshal. You come into the house, please?
Chester and I followed the girl into the house. I knew it was the sister, Lily. All the family I'd seen up to then had a great likeness to each other. Donald slouched in behind us and moved around the room, nervous-like. It wasn't by rights a house, and it was too big for a cabin. I had the feeling that they'd put up boards and studs where the fancy took them, and the place just grew another room like a lizard's new tail. I don't know what it was, but I got a funny feeling. It was too hot, and something was wrong. All wrong. And the girl Lily looked square at me with hard eyes.
Donald!
Huh?
Sit down. You make me nervous.
Oh, sure.
Marshal Dillon, I want you to help us find Pa.
Oh, Lily, Dave's gonna be awful mad.
Somebody's gotta do something around here.
Did your Pa take a horse?
No.
Well, where do you think he went, Miss Lily?
I don't know. Maybe up to Horse Flats. Maybe over by Gorman's Creek.
Creek's all dried up. There's gonna be no water in there.
Did he take a water skin with him?
Uh-uh.
No, he didn't.
Kind of bad wandering around without no water.
When did he leave?
Yesterday morning. Heard a couple of shots along about noon. Dave found a calf laying dead over in the North Range. You can see it there through the window. Haven't had time to bring it in yet.
Was he drunk?
Well, sure. Drunk as you can get. Weren't he, Lily?
I'm afeard for him, Marshal Dillon.
Yeah, I understand. Well, it makes good sense you sent for me. Well, I'll try and find him and bring him back.
Well, I ain't gonna do no such thing. You that Marshal fella out of Dodge?
This is Marshal Dillon, Dave. My brother, Dave Birch.
How are you?
I told you, Lily. Told you, keep our business to us, not outside.
It's got to be somebody else's business the way it is, Dave. And you know it.
No such thing, Lily. I told her, Dave. I told her. I knew he was going to be mad.
I figure the four of us, you and your brother here and Chester and me, ought to be able to get him in before night.
Now, mister, I told you we don't need you nor no one else. Now, be obliged. You get off this property.
Dave!
Shut up, Lily. I'll see you and your fella there to the door, Marshal.
I'm sorry, but if your paw's running around dangerous, it's my duty to find him.
Donald. I got him. Get up slow, Marshal. And you, fella, reach up high. Okay, Dave. Take the guns.
The younger brother, Donald, had got behind my chair, and now he was covering us with a shotgun. Dave took our guns. It was kind of crazy, and I almost wanted to laugh when I saw the kid, Danny, peeking in around the door. But then I saw his eyes, and there was the same thing in them. Hard, angry, as in the others. The girl started to say something. Then she shut up.
Now get on your horses and ride back. And I don't want you out here again. This ain't no matter for the law, and you're trespassing.
You're making it a matter for the law right now. You know that.
Start walking.
Them guns is U.S. property.
Okay. I ain't no thief. It's here bullets I'm keeping. Figure they're worth about 2 bits. Donald, give them 2 bits.
Sure. Here.
All right, now here's your guns. Now get out fast. You come snooping back again, me and my brother's gonna be shooting at you.
That's where the saying, get out of Dodge, right?
Right.
He's shooting at you, Lisa.
I'd be getting out of Dodge City, too.
That's the first portion of Gunsmoke. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
Here's a fact that we just cannot avoid, and that is winter is coming. It really is.
It's around the corner.
And it's going to get cold, and your feet are going to be cold, and your head is going to be cold, your hands are going to be cold.
So what are you going to do about it, Carl?
Well, I'm going to go to my favorite website to keep warm.
And the website keeps you warm?
Well, the products that are sold on that website,
I see.
Heat Holders. Now, Heat Holders makes the warmest socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. And how do they do it? Well, Heat Holders uses a 3-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making Heat Holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. Heat Holders will pamper your feet. They also make hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. Save 15% off your order and receive free shipping if your purchase is $25 or more. And remember, go to Heat Holders, use the code WGN, save 15%. That's heatholders.com. That's what I'm going to do for all my friends, my kids, everybody this holiday season, because
you're going to buy Heat Holders?
I'm going to get it's a great stocking
stuffer.
Am
I a friend?
Yeah, I already got you some stuff.
Okay.
It's a great stocking stuffer, and it's a great way to keep your kids or someone you know or your parents or whoever warm this winter. And I'm telling you, it may not be that cold right now, but it is going to be very, very cold, and you want to be stocked up on heat holders, so
you
check them out.
It's plenty cold outside already.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Only going to get
worse.
Just
going to get worse. All right, let's get back now to Gunsmoke.
Act of Gunsmoke.
The two brothers followed us out and over to the horses. As hot as it was in the house, it was worse in the open. The saddles were burning. There wasn't another word passed between the Birch boys and me. They just stood covering us. And when I looked back 100 yards or more off, they were still there.
Well, sir, that's what comes of trying to do a kindness, Mr. Dillon. As far as I'm concerned, they deserve whatever happens.
It's hot. I can't make it out, Chester. You'd think from the way they talk, they don't care what happens to their paw.
Mean bunch of children. They probably don't. My, Mr. Dillon, you ain't even riled they pulled guns on us.
I guess I'm not, Chester. You know, there's something awful wrong back there. Those boys don't look the kind to pull a gun. And the girl wanted to talk, all right, but they wouldn't let her.
Just mean, that's all.
Oh,
you aim to go back, Mr. Dillon?
It's like I said, Chester, if it's just a family affair, you and me don't belong in it. But if the old man's as drunk as he sounds, he could make a lot of trouble. No, we're not going back right now. We're going to have a look around this country for a spell. Chester and me covered a lot of ground that morning and into the afternoon. I had an idea that we might find Birch wherever we could find water. Without a horse, he couldn't get too far, and without water, he was going to get sick pretty quick. We rode over by Gorman's Creek and then up to Horse Flats, and there was nothing. Along about 2 in the afternoon, Chester spotted a carcass lying off the trail. It was a cow. She'd been shot 3 times in the head.
Could have happened this morning or yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Hard to tell in this weather. Oh.
Well, the ground's too dry to pick up a track. Might as well take a chance and go over to the hills.
Yeah, might be water there. Boy, I could do with some right this very minute.
Come on. I got a funny taste in my mouth looking at that dead cow. When a thing dies natural or gets killed for food, that's one thing, but even an animal has a look about it when it's been murdered. We rode the 6 miles to the hills. They weren't rightly hills, maybe more like humps rising up from the brown, dry earth. And we could get a good view across the plain. There was a patch or two of wild oats up there, long turned to rust and foxtails. Maybe it was in our minds, but just those few feet higher made us seem closer to the sun and hotter. You ought to be able to see if he's out there anywhere.
Mr. Dillon, he'd be dead if he was. Man couldn't live a morning out there. On foot.
Well, I don't think he's going to find water up here. Now, look at that.
Dry as a bone. You see something, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, tracks, I think. Yeah, he's been up here. I went down again, though. Over there.
He sure made a long way on foot. Must be more than 8 miles from his place.
Yeah.
Oh, you darn fool.
Rattler.
Yeah, I saw. Blew his head clean off. I was afraid you was going to step on him.
Well, we'll follow the tracks until they give out. Come on. Those tracks kept going in and around the hills. In a couple of places, we saw where they'd stopped by a dry water hole, then went on. Then as the hill sloped down to the plain again, we lost them. But the direction seemed to be headed back to the Birch place. That's the way we rode. We hadn't gone more than 15 minutes along when we saw the body of a man and a horse some few feet away. They were both dead.
He wanted to make sure, didn't he, Mr. Dillon? Birch must have emptied his gun. Look at that.
Isn't it Jack Mason, one of old man Gorman's hands?
Yes, sir. That's who it is right enough. Nice fella, too. I knew him a bit.
Get him on your horse, will you, Chester, and take him over to Mr. Gorman?
Yes, sir, I'll do that.
I'm going to go back to the Birch place.
I'd rather come with you, Mr. Dillon.
No, meet me there, huh?
Yes, sir.
And if you see Birch on the way, watch your step. Try not to kill him. But don't take any chances.
No, sir, I surely won't.
There was killing now, and I wasn't in the mood to talk gentle and kind with the sons and girl at the house. It was the boy Danny that saw me first. He was sitting on the doorstep. He ran inside. And a second later, I saw Dave come out with a shotgun. I didn't give him a chance to make up his mind.
Kid, get inside. Ain't nothing.
Your arms,
please. Get inside now, you hear me?
I'm sorry, but I'm not arguing with you anymore. Where's your paw?
I don't know.
He killed a man back on the plane away.
You're a liar.
I told you, get in the house, kid. Now get.
I'm staying. He's a liar. Paw never killed nobody.
Where's Donald and your sister?
Out look. Mr. Diddy. He killed someone.
Yeah. Jack Mason, one of Gorman's boys.
Don't you say that. Don't you say
Danny, get me some whiskey, will you? My arm pains.
Yeah, I will. But you ain't gonna tell no lies about my paw. You tell him to quit, Dave.
Where do you think he is?
Donald heard a shot up Horse Flat, swinging the gun up there.
And he must have doubled back from the hills. Listen, you tell the boy to ride into town and fetch the doc out here. He'll take care of that arm.
Okay.
When my deputy rides in, Chester Proudfoot, tell him where I've gone, will you?
Sure. Marsh?
Yeah.
Marshal, you gonna kill our pa?
I don't want to. Not if I can help it. Over at Horse Flats, I caught up with Donald and Lily Birch. I told them about the killing. And a half mile further on, the three of us saw the old man. He was crouched down on his haunches by a parched water hole, stripped naked. He was crying. It was a bad sound. And when I saw his eyes, I knew he wasn't drunk. There was no sign of his guns or his clothes.
Come on, Pa. It's okay. It's Donald. You're okay, Pa. Come on, Pa, please.
I knew it would happen like this. Someday. I knew it would. Boys figured it'd be shame on us all if word got out Pa had spells.
Your brothers were wrong.
Pa, please, will you? Pa, come on.
It was all right till after Ma died. And he started to act this way. That's why we had to leave our last place. People found out. Try to keep them home, but it weren't no good.
Give your old pa a sip of water. Your pa's thirsty now.
Come on, pa. Get up. We're going to bed.
It's funny. Pa never took a drink in his life. We always said he was drunk when he carried on like this. People could figure a man drunk.
I'm sorry, Miss Lily, but I'm going to have to take him in.
Help me now.
I got to.
Well, they do, too.
I don't know. But he's done murder. It's my job to take him in.
They'll hang him.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Son, where's your brother? He didn't want to let you come out here alone. You're too young now. Where's your ma? She ought to know better now.
Miss Lily, come over here.
Oh, no, son.
Now, I want you to listen to me. It's not my business, but will you let me give you some advice? Miss Lily?
Huh?
Now, you sell this place. I'll see what I can do to help. And you and your brothers go somewhere else and start afresh. You can get a good price for your land. You do that. It's best.
Yeah. We'll go.
I'm not saying you've got to. I'm saying it'd be better. It'd be better for the kid. He's seen too much of this. It's not good. You gotta teach him to smile again. Act like a kid again. You understand? You understand?
Sure. I understand.
Okay. I'll be taking him along now. We'll stop off at your place with some clothes.
All right.
We took the old man back to his place and got him dressed. His children said goodbye to him like they knew that they'd never see him again. Like there was no hope. Chester rode in and the old man seemed real happy to go back with us to Dodge. He didn't know. He didn't care. On the way, we passed the Doc and Danny riding out to take care of Dave's arm. It's a funny thing, the old man didn't even see the kid. He was prattling to us about the Indian Wars. The last I saw Danny Burchie, he was looking back over his shoulder at his paw. And we heard him still crying a long way off.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Anthony Ellis, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Richard Beals as Danny and Michael Ann Barrett as Lily, with Lee Millar, John Daner, and Lawrence Dobkin. Parley Bear is Chester. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. The New York Philharmonic celebrates its 110th birthday tomorrow, and in observance, there will be a repeat performance of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. This work was featured on the first Philharmonic broadcast over 100 years ago. Join us on most of these same CBS radio stations tomorrow for the 110th birthday of the New York Philharmonic Symphony. Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, America now listens to 105 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That's a Western adventure of Gunsmoke from December 6, 1952, a show called I Don't Know, starring William Conrad, as heard on the CBS Radio Network. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, December 2nd.
Hang on, let me get my calendar out. What is it?
Saturday,
yeah.
December 2nd.
We're on the air that day.
Well, good.
All right.
But not during, this is during the day. We're not on until that
okay.
night. And we can see our friend.
What's going on?
John Williams live on stage at the Elgin Community College in two shows with two of America's most fascinating and influential characters. You aren't one of them. But it's at 10 a.m. It's a conversation with the author of Declaration of Independence and third president, Thomas Jefferson. Then at 1 p.m., John converses with explorer Meriwether Lewis. So tickets are $31.
Explorer who?
Meriwether Lewis?
Never heard of her or him.
I'm guessing it's a guy.
Mary?
Meriwether.
Oh, Meriwether.
M-E-R-I.
Okay, yeah, that's a guy.
It's a guy. Okay. Tickets
There's
are 31.
There's a name you don't hear anymore. Meriwether.
Kind of like Harlow.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Nobody's named Meriwether anymore.
Well, that's
anybody listening
for a good
out
reason.
There, if your name is Meriwether, text
us.
Let us know.
Okay. Tickets are $31. They're on sale now. Buy them online at WGNradio.com/.
Buy me a couple of tickets, Lisa.
WGNradio.com/events. Do you want to go?
If you buy the tickets, I'll go.
I'll buy the tickets if you go.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? It's John Williams.
Big spender,
it's got to be great.
$30, Lisa.
$31.
Okay. Guess what?
What?
We've had a lot of people ask us for Groucho Marx, You Bet Your Life.
Yes.
And that's what we have for you in our next hour. Then after that, a good detective adventure of Jeff Regan, Investigator. It's coming your way after the news.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. In this hour, Groucho Marx will be entertaining us with his quiz show, You Bet Your Life. It started on radio and ran on television. And it was on for many, many years, a really funny show, and it was all ad-libbed, and he was the master ad-libber.
You know, so many people have asked for this show, and we rarely play that on here.
Yeah, well, we're going to.
So this is our lucky night.
In this hour. Then after that, Jeff Regan, Investigator, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This famous rapper and actor stars in the upcoming film Escape Plan 2 Hades, the sequel to the 2013 film that featured a security expert to test security prisons.
All right. What do they win?
They're going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Very good. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This famous rapper is the star of Get Rich or Die Trying.
Neighbor said they heard voices raised in a jealous rage. Soon after that, the dogs were heard barking.
All right, who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Neighbor said they heard voices raised in a jealous rage. Soon after that, the dogs were heard barking.
Hey, Daryl, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. I'm so glad you called in because Carl and I had a bet on this one.
Yeah, we bet 50 cents.
Well, you would be right then.
So who is this?
This is Daryl.
No, I meant, so who is this famous rapper, actor?
That's 50 cents.
There you go, it's All 50
right.
cents. See, Carl Here, gave it
here's
away.
Here's my half a dollar, Lisa.
He owes me big time. He wasn't sure anybody would be able to get it, but you've proved him wrong, so I love that. Thank you for calling in, Daryl, and we are thrilled to give you a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. It's produced by Carl, and it is hosted by Stacey Keats, and it's fantastic, so we hope that you love it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love the Twilight Zone.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you so much for calling
thanks,
in.
Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate you. All right, my friend. Okay, guess what? Daryl's a big winner, and all of our listeners are going to be big winners because it's You Bet Your Life. Now, this was a quiz show. It was a game show hosted by Groucho Marx of the Marx Brothers fame. And his assistant and announcer on the show was George Fenneman. It began on ABC Radio in 1947, made a transition to television in 1950. Each show offered a secret word like house or money or 50 cents or hat or et cetera. Contestants would banter about their life with Groucho, and if by chance they said the secret word, they'd win $100. They would also win money for answering questions put to them by Groucho. And oftentimes celebrities appeared as contestants on the show as well, and You Bet Your Life enjoyed a very long run, bowing out in 1961. We have a broadcast from 1957 for our listeners right now, from April 13th to be exact. The secret word is face. Here's Groucho Marx in part one of You Bet Your Life.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word is face. F-A-C-E.
Really?
You bet your life. It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood and brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America, who invite you to see and drive the most exciting car in the world today, DeSoto for 1957.
The most exciting car today is now delighting the far highway. It's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's DeSoto. Exciting style to please the eye, exciting power to pass them by. It's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's DeSoto.
And here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win as much as $10,000.
All right, George, who's first for DeSoto?
Groucho, Mrs. Marie Haven and Mr. Ray Moyer are waiting to talk to you. So, folks, you can please meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word, and you each get an extra $50. It's a common word, something you see every day. Marie Haven and Ray Moyer. Well, you're a nice-looking couple. Marie, are you the new Haven or the old Haven?
Since 1943, I've been married.
Oh, well, congratulations. About medium Haven, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what did you say your name was?
Ray Moyer, Groucho.
Roy Mayer. I used to know a fellow named Roy Mayer. How long have you been Roy Mayer?
Well, Groucho, it's Ray Moyer. And I've been...
Well, if you want to be shifty and change your name, it's all right with me. How old are you, Ray?
Well, this week I can say that I'm 58.
Mm-hmm. What could you say next week?
59.
Next week you'll be 50. You get a year older every week?
Just that happens this next week.
Oh. Are you married?
Yes, Groucho, I'm married.
How long have you been married?
10 months.
10 months, you rascal, you. That's probably why you changed your name, huh? Where did you meet your wife, Roy?
I met my wife in Egypt.
You met her in Egypt? What were you doing there? Were you scuttling ships in the Suez Canal?
No, I was working on a movie, American movie.
Is that so?
I was working on the making of the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
I was the set
director. I saw that picture. I don't remember you in it. All I remember is that girl in the crib sucking her thumb. What part did you play, Roy? Were you the Sphinx?
No, I wasn't an actor, Groucho. I was the set decorator on the picture, but in Egypt I had an additional job of seeing all the properties either purchased or manufactured.
Oh.
And in 2 months' time, I saw 150,000 items assembled.
Was all the picture made in Egypt?
No, we only shot in Egypt what was necessary to shoot in Egypt.
Well, if you want some things to shoot in Egypt, I've got a couple of suggestions. Now, Marie, where are you from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Mo, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of work does your husband do?
A move man.
You a move man?
Mm-hmm.
Is that anything like a moving man?
Absolute.
Oh, well, which moving man is he? Is he the big husky fella that carries the lamp, or is he the little skinny guy who carries the piano?
He's a husky one.
He is, huh? Mm-hmm. How much does he weigh?
Oh, I think about 156, somewhere like that. I didn't pin him down to it.
Well, if he only weighs 156, he must be in pretty good shape. Is he unusually strong?
He's strong, all right, but yet he's weak, too.
Well, all men are.
Well, in what way is he weak? You mean morally?
His back is running out on him.
His back is running out? Well, where's it running? I mean, you any idea?
Well, he's got some vertebrae that are not working like they should.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Isn't that a handicap in the moving business to have some weak vertebrae?
Oh, well, I help him.
You help him? What,
sure,
what do you
every
mean?
Night.
Every night you
yeah.
help him? Well, that's a good wife. What do you do for him every night?
Press the vertebrae.
What do you mean? He lies down on a...
Lies in the bed and on his stomach and
do you
I...
you press it with a hot iron? Or...
No, with my hand. I feel him out, and then I go whack. Just feel him out.
Every
know.
Night you whack his vertebrae? Isn't that a lovely title for a love song? Every night I whack his vertebrae. Well, how many vertebrae does he have?
Well, he's got about 2.5. Maybe 3 working, right?
He's got 12, hasn't he? Is that right?
Well, I never count them. I just whack them.
Why don't you give him a vacation some night and just count them and don't whack them?
Well, I couldn't feel them that good.
Oh. Well, you're nice people, and I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope you're all set to clean us out in the quiz. You both know how we play this game, You Bet Your Life?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You selected a movie quiz by Mr. Moya. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss 2 in a row, you're out. If you get 4 in a row right, you win $1,000. All right? Nanette Fabre appeared as a child actress in what series of pictures?
Was it Our Gang Comedy?
That's right. You got one
uh-uh.
right. Only one supporting actor has ever won the Academy Award 3 times. Who is this fine actor?
See, you're not referring to that big giant deal, are you?
I don't miss that one.
Well, you'll know when you hear it. It's Walter Brennan.
Well, you have one wrong now. Don't get the next one wrong or you're out of the game.
All right. Gary Cooper and Ingrid Bergman starred in Hemingway's story of the Spanish Civil War. What was the name of it?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
For Whom the Bell Tolls is right.
Well, you're back on the track again with one right.
What is Edith Head's job in the movies?
Costume designer, Paramount Studio.
Aren't you ashamed to answer that?
I'm really ashamed of that one, Groucho.
2 right now, 2 more right, and $1,000 is yours.
Kirk Douglas stars in Lust for Life. What artist's life is the movie based on?
The Life of Van Gogh.
That's right.
3 right now, 1 more right, and it's yours.
Tolstoy's novel, War and Peace, has been made into a movie. Who directed it?
It was directed by King Vidor.
Yes, one of the great ones. That's right, you've won...
$1,000 with 4 in a row correct.
Now, you won $1,000. Now, you can keep it and quit, or you can come back later at the end of the show and try to double your money, and you may even get a crack at $10,000. No matter what you decide to do, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
George, who's next for DeSoto?
They're Catherine Brousset and Carl Turgeon. So, folks, you come in, please, and meet... Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and you divide $100. It's a common word, something you always have with you.
Hello.
Catherine Brustekel and Carl Terzian, huh? Carl, make yourself at home while I get acquainted with your partner. Catherine Brousset, is that the way you pronounce it?
Brousset, yes.
Brousset. Where are you from, Katharina?
Oh, I am from Paris. But I have lived in many other places before.
Have you got a husband, Catherine?
No.
You have no husband?
No, Groucho.
Well, that's the friendliest gesture France has made since they sent Lafayette over here. I'll get back to you, Fifi. Just turn off your motor and park there for a minute. Huh?
I'll try.
Now, your name is Catherine Brousset?
No, Carl Terzian.
Oh, Carl Terzian.
That's right.
What kind of a name is Terzian? Is that... Tarzan of the Apes?
No. It's Tarzan.
Oh, it's Tarzan.
Terzian is Armenian name. The I-A-N is usually Armenian, and means son of. Terzian is son of a tailor.
Really? Son of a tailor. Is your father a tailor?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Well, that's very fitting. Now, where are you from, Carl?
Right here in Hollywood. Hmm. Went to Hollywood High and born and raised here.
Hmm. Have you got a job?
I'm a major in college in political science at University of Southern California.
Is that a senior?
That's right, senior.
Why are you studying political science?
Well, my eventual hope is to go into politics. I think it's a real challenge and a chance to work with people.
That's a worthy ambition.
Thank you.
Well, how do you know you'd like politics? Have you had any experience?
Yes, ever since I was a wee lad, I was in it, and it's about 10 years now since I first started. Right
now, what do you mean by a wee lad? What's a wee lad?
Perhaps about junior high age. And
her size?
No. Actually, at the present time, I'm student body president at USC, so I've been pretty active.
Suppose she was sitting in the front row and you were about to make a speech. Would that distract you any...
I hope.
Well, I'd have to be speaking about something pretty important not to be.
Well, what do you know that's more important?
Nothing yet.
You better get that into your head pretty soon.
It's there.
It is there.
Yeah.
So you're the president of the student body at SC?
That's right.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're a very important fellow.
How about that?
Well, when do you get time to study? Don't you have trouble with your grades?
Well, I keep a scholarship. I try for about an A-minus average. If I'm lucky, I hit it.
Don't you have a Phi Beta Kappa key, if you're that smart?
Well, I seldom wear one.
Oh, are you ashamed of it, then?
No, I'm proud of it, but I just assume keep it at home.
See. You imagine that people might vote against you if they saw this key on you?
No, I think academic attainment is something that a person can take pride in himself and doesn't have to broadcast it to the world. You.
This fellow will be president when he's 28. Well, you're quite a man, and we can use bright young fellows like you in politics. How old are you, Carl?
21.
21, huh? And you're still in college, huh?
Yes, senior.
When I was 21, I was wanted in 4 different states. In fact, I was wanted in every state but my own. In that state, nobody wanted me. Are you married, Carl?
No.
Have you given this much thought?
I've thought about it.
I don't mean in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, before that.
Wouldn't you like to cement Anglo-French relations? What kind of a girl would you like to marry?
Well, I like a girl who's very compatible and understanding, would like a family.
Listen, they're all compatible before you get married.
After, too.
Well, Catherine, we don't know too much about you, so let's
it's
do a little...
It's your fault, Groucho.
Let's... I expect a remedy this right now. How old are you, babe? How's that for a flying start?
All right, let's take a break right here on You Bet Your Life from 1957, starring Groucho Marx. First, these words, then we'll be back to Groucho Marx. All right, Roger Badish is up there. Hey, how's my book doing? Oh, wait, hang on a second.
I'm here.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, guys.
Are you enjoying the top 100?
It's my third time through.
He reads it every time he goes to the bathroom. He tells me that.
And that sound that you just made really just reinforced what you just said there.
And I just, hello, I just cleaned the microphone off before I started, too.
Here's him.
Got Lisa.
Oh.
Got Lisa.
Laughing at myself.
Oh, my gosh. So I hope you're enjoying the book.
I'm loving the book. Thank you so much, so much, so much, so much.
I didn't get the check yet. I mean... What's going on? What did you send it? Slow
well,
boat to China?
Well, you know, you were gracious enough to sign the book towards me.
I only charge an extra $100
beautiful
for that.
Sentiment, very warm, very heartfelt, very friendly. Then the disappearing ink started to work. And so now I got a book that has no signature, and I just don't know what to do with it.
It's a little practical joke that I do.
Yeah, I know. That's very nice.
I know. You know, we've had a lot of orders. Our listeners listeners have been have been buying the book. I really appreciate it. Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, I co-wrote a book with Martin Grams about the top 100 classic radio shows. It's available basically wherever books are sold. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Costco, Sam's Club. B-Dalt. Not, there's no more B-Dalt.
No more B-Dalt.
Barnes & Noble, maybe.
You know what else there isn't anymore? Remember Crocs and Brentano's?
Yes. Yes.
No Crocs and Brentano's, nor Borders.
There's not many bookstores anymore.
No, but Barnes & Noble, they're all around.
Still running.
And
Amazon.
Amazon's the best.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think the best place to get the book is right here on our own website.
That's right.
WGN Radio Theater, because I will sign it and personalize it for you for
without
free.
Without disappearing ink.
Yeah, well, no,
I use a
real ink.
I use
a real Sharpie,
thick black marker for that. Yeah. I'm happy to sign it for you, and I'm just really grateful because a lot of people have been ordering it, and it's a great Christmas gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Hanukkah gift.
Sure.
Or Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Right. So, Roger, I'm expecting you to order 10, 12, 15 of them. For Christmas presents for everybody.
Okay, and
he's not that generous.
Checks in the mail. But seriously, it is
a great coffee
you and
table
I've
book.
Talked about this before. It's not just a great coffee book. It's visually outstanding.
There
seriously, it's not just a page of writing and a picture and this. It's beautiful. The people who worked with you on designing pages
really
are fantastic.
Yep.
And not only are the pages fantastic and the information is fantastic, but then you have the pièce de résistance in the back of the book. You have CDs of the actual recordings of those shows.
Yeah, and there's also an additional 78 shows that you can digitally download at a special website. So you get a lot of radio shows as part of it, and it's 224 pages. There's hundreds of pictures of the stars from the golden age of radio. There's all kinds of fun facts.
And you pointed out to me a while back, some of the pictures are actually things from you.
Oh, yeah.
Things that you collected as a child on about old-time radio shows.
Yeah, some of my radio premiums are photographed and put in there and everything. But I'm really, really excited about the book. It's called The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. And if you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, a pop-up pops up, and you can learn more about it. So check it out. And it's only, $29.99 for a big coffee table book with all those radio shows, 78 radio shows.
You can't
as well.
Steal it for less.
That's
seriously.
Right. You can't. Well, I'm really glad you're enjoying it. Thanks, Roger.
It's wonderful. I keep looking at it. I keep reading it.
I knew you'd love it.
And eventually, I'm going to use it to kind of lift up the slot car racing track I have now. No, I'm sorry.
For your matchboxes. Right?
My matchbox cars, right.
Well, enjoy it, and I'll look forward to 10, 12, 15 orders from you from Christmas.
I'm sure that the people that I go after with a baseball bat on the street will be happy
Would
to order.
Absolutely love
them.
That, right?
Yep.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks, Roger. And let's see, it is 12:38 in the morning here. It is a Sunday. This is the 5th of November now, and we still have the conclusion to You Bet Your Life coming your way. Then after that, Jeff Regan, investigator. Tomorrow, or I should say tonight, when we come back here at 11 p.m., you know what we have, Lisa?
I do, Carl.
What?
Well, we have Richard Diamond.
Yeah.
We have Duffy's Tavern, which is a fan favorite, and Suspense, which is always fantastic.
Yeah, so good lineup. This weekend here on the WGN Radio Theater, we're listening to Groucho Marx. Let's go back now to 1957 for the conclusion.
How old are you, Kat?
You know, in France, the gentlemen don't ask a lady how old she is.
Well, let's get two things straight, Kat. First, we're not in France, and second, I'm no gentleman. And if you want, you can put the second one first. However, if you don't care to reveal your age, it's all right with me.
I don't mind. I'm 25.
25. Well, if I were 25, I wouldn't mind either. How long have you been in this country? Have you been here long enough to meet any American men? What a ridiculous question.
I don't know, but since I'm here, I find American men very, very distrustful. And they always think that there is an angle to everything.
Well, any man that can find angles on you should have his eyes examined. And that's the well-rounded truth. Are you? Would you think that you're too old for this gent over here, Carl?
He's too busy studying, I suppose. unfortunately.
He says he's not that busy here, Catherine. Well, what are your plans for the future, Catherine, as far as men are concerned? I imagine that's what you're interested in. All women are.
Well, I plan to marry.
You're going to get married, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're interested in a student body president, we might be able to wrap this thing up right now. You know? Where do you like to go on dates?
Oh, I like to eat in the nice places like Chasen's, Romanoff's, dance at the Macumba, you know.
Well, there goes the student body president. Carl, back to Barney's Beanery.
Oh, I have never been there. I would like to go there.
You'd like to go to Barney's Beanery?
Yes.
Carl, it looks like you're hooked, huh? Well, what kind of luck have you had in locating a victim who has a diner's club card? Apparently, that's what you're after.
Nothing happens very much, Groucho. I can't find somebody that can make me tingle. And it's very important for me to tingle.
Could you make her tingle, Carl?
I never tried.
Well, what do you mean by a tingle? You mean like tingle, tingle, little star? Huh?
Oh, no, no, no. You know.
I don't know.
Oh, Groucho, you know.
No. I used to know, but I don't know. I would say offhand that I haven't tingled since William Jennings Bryan was running. Well, you're only a kid yet, Catherine. You're 25. I predict you'll be married before you're 26.
I hope so.
Even if it takes 10 years, huh?
I'm in a hurry, you know?
What kind of a man are you looking for? Anything special?
For me, yes. But he doesn't have to necessarily be rich. He doesn't have to be tall. Only... we have to love each other. That is most important, Groucho.
Is that what you mean by tingling?
Yes, yes.
Don't you think anyone in America tingles?
I don't know. I don't think too many, really, really. But Americans are wonderful people. They have so many wonderful qualities, much better than our country. But Groucho, on the romantic side, something is missing, honestly.
It isn't that. The taxes are so high, we... We can't afford to tingle.
Well, it's only a question. Want to try. At least they can try.
Well, wait till after April 15th. I think you'll do that. Well, you're not getting discouraged, are you? Do you think you will eventually hook somebody?
Mm-hmm.
This is a kind of an American colloquialism when I say hook somebody.
I think so. But
don't you think Carl is cute?
Oh, terribly. Terribly cute.
Look at him with those big blue eyes of yours.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be a wonderful American man one day. I mean...
What do you mean, one day? You mean like tomorrow?
I mean in the big things he wants to do later on in life. That's what I mean, really.
Is there a great deal of tingling at USC?
There is now.
There is. Well, you make a charming, exciting, and romantic couple, and if you take my advice, you'll get engaged right after the show. And, Carl, if you plan on taking her to Ciro's and Romanoff's, you better hope you win that $10,000.
We hope so,
too. You'll need that much for a steak sandwich. All right, you selected facts about presidents. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're through. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Now, don't answer before you discuss it with each other. You understand that, Carl?
Yes, sure.
All right, which of our presidents was married to Martha Dandridge Custis?
George Washington.
George of the Wash is the right.
You have one right, three more to go, and you'll have $1,000.
All right, who was president during the Spanish-American War?
McKinley.
McKinley is right.
You have two right now, two more right, and you'll have your $1,000.
Good boy.
What president was sworn into office by his father? Come on, kids. Well, it was the New England George Jessel, Calvin Coolidge. Oh, you should know that.
Well, you don't have one wrong. Don't get the next one wrong or the game is over.
How old must a man be in order to be eligible for the presidency?
35 years.
He knew that because he's planning on this.
You're back on the right track. One right now. Three more to go for 1,000.
What president was called the rail splitter?
Abraham Lincoln.
Honest Abe is right. What president? How much have they got?
Two right. Two right. More right is what you're aiming for.
Yes.
What president had a famous home called Monticello?
Thomas Jefferson.
How did you know that? Huh?
Oh, my friend told me. Didn't you know, Groucho?
And you and your friend have three right and one more right, and you'll have $1,000.
Who was the first vice president to be later elected to the presidency?
John Adams.
John, oh boy, what a smart kid this guy is. Oh,
born a little right. You now have $1,000.
Fenneman, a big kiss.
This gives you
one. Give Fenneman a big kiss.
Now? Yeah, right. And you too.
See, I don't get any money on this show. Well, you've won $1,000. Now you can keep it and quit. We're a pretty smeared-up-looking crowd here.
Now you look wonderful.
Yeah. Or you can come back later and try to double your money. You may even get a chance at $10,000. So go over there and sit on Catherine's lap, Carl, and think it over. If we don't see you later, I'll meet you in Barney's Beanery. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Out of it.
Now, in just one moment, we'll see if any of our couples will try for the big money. But first, here's Peggy Taylor.
Exciting style to please the eye. Exciting power to pass them by. It's too lovely. It's dynamic. It's DeSoto.
There are many things about the new DeSoto that aren't included in the lyric of that song. For instance, it would be hard to work in the price of $2,732.25. Well, that may be too many words for a song lyric, but I think you'll agree that it isn't very much money for the luxurious new DeSoto. You can buy a big and beautiful DeSoto four-door sedan for only $2,732.25. Of course, state and local taxes, transportation and delivery charges are extra, and prices may vary according to individual dealer policy. But that's what we mean when we say DeSoto prices start just above the lowest. And if you're planning to buy any car, you can move up to DeSoto. And, well, when you figure what you get, torsionaire ride, flight sweep styling, and all the other big DeSoto features, it's really the most exciting value in cars today. If you've driven the new DeSoto, you'll recognize how much of a value it is. And if you haven't driven it, stop by your DeSoto Plymouth dealers this afternoon. Drive and price a DeSoto before you decide.
George, we're ready to see who wants to get a crack at all the big money. Will you bring out the first couple?
Marie Haven and Ray Moyer. Would you come out again, please?
Now you've won $1,000 so far. Now you have a chance to win a lot more. Maybe even 10. $10,000. Or you can stop right here and keep your $1,000. If you decide to try for the big money and fail, you wind up with a total of $500. Now, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take it with you.
That's right.
Now, get together and pick a number from 1 to 10 and then spin the wheel. If any number besides the one you pick comes up, this question is worth $2,000. However, if your number comes up, this question is worth $10,000. What number do you want?
Six.
Six? Give it a turn.
Thank you.
I can't stand many more of these shots. Your number was 6 and it came on 5, so you're now going for $2,000. Is that right? Freedom of the press in America dates from 1735, when a Philadelphia printer was freed of charges of publishing seditious libel. For $2,000, who was the celebrated printer of American history?
I think the only one I know is Benjamin Franklin. No. It's not Benjamin Franklin.
It's John Peter Zenger, Z-E-N-G-E-R. I'm sorry, mister, but you wind up with $500, so that isn't so bad. Congratulations, and thanks for being with us.
You don't have to be sorry.
All right, bring in the next couple, man.
All right, Catherine Brusse and Carl Terzian. Come on, please.
You two kids married yet?
No.
Well, you've won $1,000 now. You have a chance to win a lot more, maybe even $10,000. Or you can stop right here and keep your $1,000.
We'll try for it.
You're going to try for it, huh? You are going for the big money. Now get together and pick a number from 1 to 10 and then spin this wheel.
3.
The number buses, 3, huh? Give it a spin. Well, you can't come closer than that. Your number was 3 and it came on 4, so this question is worth $2,000. The first American photographer of any consequence is best known today for his photographs of the Civil War. For $2,000, what is the name of this famous photographer? It's been in all the magazines.
That's Stephen. Is that his first or his last name?
No, his name is Matthew B. Brady. Mm-hmm. Very famous. I'm sorry you missed. You wind up with $500. Oh, it's not too bad. Congratulations, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Groucho.
Be sure to tune in again next week, same time, same station, for Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life. Don't miss the Chrysler Corporation's big TV show on another network. And don't forget Groucho's TV show, also brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America, who invite you to visit your neighborhood showroom today to see and drive the most exciting car in the world today. DeSoto for 1957.
And when you go in, tell them Groucho sent you. So long, folks, and remember, it's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's DeSoto.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's number one health problem is mental illness. Its number one solution is money enough to pay for prevention, treatment, research. Give now to your local mental health campaign or to Mental Health, care of your local postmaster. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell, directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith, music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fenneman signing off for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces throughout the world.
That's You Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx from April 13th, 1957. No one got the secret word there, Lisa.
That was some tough question.
They said it was something you carry around with you all the time.
Yes.
Face was the secret word. And it was Lisa and I were listening to the show, and we were both enjoying it quite a lot. And they each one of those couples won the $1,000. Then they came back and tried to double it and did not, were not successful. But we were trying to figure out $1,000. That sounds like a lot of money back in 1957. So then when they came on and talked about the DeSoto being $2,700 for a brand new DeSoto, that was a fairly luxury car back in 1957. So I'm guessing if you did the math, that a luxury car today is maybe in the $50,000+ range. It's like about 15 times more now. So that $1,000 that they would win was probably about $15,000 in today's money, which is quite a nice payday.
Although
for,
you know, you want to make a, you want to be a millionaire. We've got such bigger stakes right now on game
shows.
Well,
for you, you want to be a billionaire because you're already a multimillionaire.
Yeah, you know,
you
I would
be a billionaire.
At this point, I think I would take the thousand and one.
Yeah. It's a great episode of You Bet Your Life. In our next hour, we have Jeff Regan, investigator, so don't go away. More after these words.
Do you want to know the best way to keep yourself warm this winter?
Yes.
I think you know already. We've been talking about this. This is Heat Holders. Heat Holders makes the warmest socks around, and they keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Well, Heat Holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn, soft to the touch, brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making Heat Holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed.
I hate when my feet are cold.
I can attest to that because I have Heat Holder socks, and they feel fantastic.
And you also snagged the throw
I did.
Rug.
This is not a rug. It's
what
a blanket.
Is it? I mean, a blanket. Well, I don't know. I never had a chance
a rug,
to really.
A blanket.
Yeah.
You know.
The Heat Holders was nice enough to send us a blanket. And I'm telling you, I got to. It was in the package. And it was snagged.
It was snagged. But we gave some socks to Roger. We gave some socks to Dave Plyer. And I know you took some socks. And I have some socks. So at least four of us will have
warm
feet.
Yeah. They're very warm.
They
very,
are fantastic. Very warm. Yeah. Heat Holders will pamper your feet. They make hats, gloves, throws, scarves, not rugs, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN and you can save 15% off your order.
It's a nice offer.
It's very nice. And if you spend $25 or more, you can get it free shipping. So go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com.
Very good. Thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
Well, this is Chicago's very own 720WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. When we come back from the news, it is Jeff Regan, investigator, so don't go away.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. Hour three. Thanks for staying up late with us. This hour, Jeff Regan, investigator from 1950, starring Frank Graham, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film The Black Hand, about a police officer who seeks justice against a ruthless gang in New York.
All right.
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He is the star of Wolf of Wall Street.
Have you ever noticed anything odd about Mr. Fuzzy Bear over there?
Yeah.
His eyes seem to be a little bit odd, don't
Fuzzy
they?
Fuzzy Bear. Yeah, Lisa, a little fuzzy bear there.
I'm just looking at the odd eyes looking at me.
All right, who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip one more time.
Have you ever noticed anything odd about Mr. Fuzzy Bear over there? His eyes seem to be a little bit odd, don't they?
Interesting clip choice there.
Yeah,
we're talking to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Who's that actor?
Is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
It sure is. Leonardo DiCaprio is the right answer. And Nancy, we are so happy to give you the Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. It's produced by Mr. Carl Amari sitting across from me right here. He's the proud papa of that. And Stacey Keach is the host. So we hope that you enjoy that. It's really terrific.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy your shows.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so
much.
We're
happy that you called in.
Thanks,
oh, thanks.
Nancy. Enjoy the Twilight Zone. All right. You know what, Lisa? Time for Jeff Regan Investigator. This was a detective series. Now, Jack Webb starred as Jeff Regan. It debuted on CBS in 1948. Regan was a tough private eye working for the L.A.-based International Detective Bureau, run by his money-grubbing boss, Anthony J. Lyon. It was written by E. Jack Newman. It had the finest L.A. supporting casts, including Jeff Chandler, Paul Frees, William Conrad. And each show opened with, "I get 10 a day plus expenses. They call me the Lion's Eye." Now, here's what happened. In 1948, the show went off the air and was resurrected in 1949, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as the Lion. So when people hear, you know, Jeff Regan Investigator, they think about Jack Webb playing the role. But for many years, the role was also played by Frank Graham. And we have a Frank Graham episode for you now from June 18th, 1950. This is called "They've Got More Than Coffee in Brazil." Here's part one of Jeff Regan Investigator.
My name's Regan. I work for Anthony J. Lyon, Detective Bureau. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Sunday at 8:30, and CBS brings you Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery and suspense and adventure in tonight's transcribed story, "They've Got More Than Coffee in Brazil."
Her name was Irene Santino. The lady from Brazil, the Lion called her. He figured it for an easy trace job, something for missing persons. Only when we do them, the Lion gets paid. Well, the program said it was simple, except before we wound it up, there were a couple of added attractions. A doctor who didn't do any doctoring, a nurse with a built-in temperature, and a couple of blackouts that were meant to be permanent. And guess what? In that last part, I was supposed to be the star. Anyhow, it all began late last Monday. I was home. My boss, Anthony J. Lyon, knocked on my door. I opened it. And that's when I made my first mistake.
Jeffrey, I'm glad I found you in. I'm just on my way home from the office.
You could have kept on going. I'm out of bourbon.
Oh, now, Jeffrey, I didn't come by just for that. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, all right. As a matter of fact, I want your advice, Regan.
Cut out starches and get some exercise.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, what would you do if you traveled 10,000 miles just to see your sister and then couldn't find her?
I'd give up the search.
You would? Why?
I haven't got a sister.
That's not what I'm talking about. You'd go to missing persons, wouldn't you? Sure you would. But if you knew your family in a foreign country would become greatly alarmed at this sort of notoriety, you'd look for your sister in another way. You'd hire a good private detective. Now, isn't that right?
Come on, Fatso, get to the point.
We have a new client. Her name's Irene Santino. She's from Brazil. Real fine family, Regan. Coffee. She's engaged the Lion Detective Bureau to locate her younger sister, Carmen.
I'm no Saint Bernard.
You'll do till I can feed one. Oh, I know you've been working hard lately. But, Jeffrey, this is one of those occasions when I'm proud to be a part of our profession. We have an opportunity to help a young lady in desperate straits and at the same time secure goodwill from South America.
Ever hear of the State Department?
Of course I have, but they can't do it all alone. It's up to individual citizens to take responsibility, too.
And that's the only reason you want me to find her sister?
Absolutely. Now, Miss Santino is taking an apartment at this address. Here, go see her, comfort her, let her know the Lion Detective Bureau and the United States of America will do everything possible to locate her lost sister.
That all?
That's enough.
What'd she pay you?
$200.
Yes. That's a lot of green to get in advance.
She insisted. She's very anxious to find that girl.
Well, watch out her check doesn't bounce.
It won't. She paid cash.
The $200 was already making a lump in the Lion's coat, and I knew the next spot for it was his mattress. Well, maybe that's the reason he's a bachelor. I left him in my place and drove over to the address he'd given me. It was one of those Beverly Hills apartments with a long, glassy look. Irene Santino's apartment was on the second floor. She was a tall, brown-haired girl without a smile. She wore glasses. And when she talked, she sounded sad, like a banjo player with a paper pick.
Thank you so much for coming over, Mr. Regan. I've been very upset all day. I just had to do something about Carmen.
Your sister?
Yes, my younger sister. She's the one I came here to see.
Yeah, I heard.
It's an awful vacant feeling. I thought she'd meet me at the airport, and then she wasn't there. When I went to her address, we were very close.
She's from Rio, too?
Yes, of course.
How's her English?
Well, the same as mine. We were both educated in the United States.
Where?
Back east, Vassar.
You older than Carmen?
Yes, 2 years. She's 25 now. Carmen left home a year ago, you see. She's always been very independent. And, well, I'm afraid something might have happened to her.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Young girl, pretty, I don't know. And as I say, she's so independent. I received this letter from her a few days ago. It was the first word since she left home.
It came this way?
Yes.
No envelope?
Oh, well, I threw that away. She wrote her address there at the end, and I didn't see any need for keeping the envelope.
And, she wasn't at this address.
That's what frightens me. There isn't any such address.
Yeah. What does your sister Carmen look like?
Why, I gave her a snapshot to Mr. Lyne. Didn't he give it to you?
He forgets things.
Oh, no matter. I have another. Of course, it's old and not very good. I think it's right here in this suitcase. You'll pardon things being all over, but I haven't had time to do any... Oh, here it is. Right here.
Ah, she's blonde, huh?
Well, a little lighter than mine. We're the same height, too. We used to wear each other's clothes. Oh, Mr. Regan, you will be able to find her, won't you?
I don't think you want me to.
Mr. Regan, are you trying to be funny?
You hand me a snapshot so old it could be anybody and a letter that says nothing and you want me to turn up a blonde.
But I thought those would be leads. She mentions the name of a doctor. I thought you'd...
Is he the man?
The man?
She left home a year ago. She wasn't following the crops.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a man in it. If I'm going to do any good, I've got to have it all, lady.
All right, there was a man.
Yeah.
His name was Frank Martin. I met him once in Mexico City. She thought she was in love with him. But he has nothing to do with it, Mr. Regan. I'm sure he has nothing to do with it.
How do you know?
Because I looked him up. He lives out on Laurel Avenue.
You talked to him?
No, but I asked questions around. I'm completely satisfied he knows nothing about it. Look, if you'd see this doctor my sister mentioned...
You want me to find your sister?
Yes.
But you don't want me to see this Frank Martin.
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to, lady. Okay. We got a report when I got something. There's one more thing.
What's that?
How long did you stop off on the way to shop in New York?
What makes you think I'd do that?
Labels. When you leave your clothes strewn around, labels show. There's no Saks Fifth Avenue in Rio. When I walked out, her mouth was wide open like she was trying to scream. Only nothing came out. I hung around the door outside for a minute to see if she'd use the phone. But when nothing happened, I looked up Frank Martin in the city directory and drove over to Laurel. A two-story apartment building, the color of a bride's blush, was wrapped around a swimming pool, too small for people, too big for birds. Martin's name wasn't on the mailbox, so I tried the manager's door. Her voice sounded like a beer truck in low gear.
Well, come on in, Pilgrim. You don't know me, do you?
I just got here.
I played the Palace in 26. Oh, them was the days.
Write it up. Sell it the movies.
Oh, them slobs. Central Casting ain't called me in 4 years.
You got a card?
AFRA, SAG, and the Musicians Union. I play the French horn. None of them call me. Now, I figure it's television. No union yet, but... By the way, what are you doing here, buddy?
Looking for a man named Frank Martin.
Now, look, I like Frank. You got trouble, stay away from him. He bruises easy.
And you're just a mother to him.
He's a nice laddie. Remember what I tell you, huh?
Sure.
Come on, I'll show you.
Thanks.
That's him.
Stays in one key.
All the time. A low one.
Sounds like.
Second door on the right.
Thanks.
See ya, Pilgrim.
Come on in. It's unlocked.
Your name Frank Martin?
Yep. Who wants to know?
My name's Regan. I'm a private investigator with Lyon Detective Bureau.
Wrong steer, Gumshoe. I don't need one.
I'm not looking for work.
I'm looking for you.
What'd you say it was, Regan?
Yeah.
R-E-G-A-N? Regan? Regan. Just wrote that one. Cute, huh?
I'm looking for a friend of yours.
A second ago, you were looking for me. Now you're looking for a friend of mine. Frank Martin never had a friend. Who are we talking about?
Carmen Santino.
Oh. How is Carmen these days?
I don't know.
But you said you were a detective.
I did.
You sound like an amateur.
You sound like a guy with a chip on his shoulder.
I sound like a lot of things. You trying to get tough, baby?
The figure's why your name isn't on the mailbox.
Yeah?
Nobody'd ever write you.
I'll skip that, Regan. Who hired you to do what?
Her sister's in town. She's looking for Carmen.
Didn't know Carmen had a sister. What else?
You're the boyfriend. Where is she?
Yeah, the boyfriend. That's real good. Let me tell you what Carmen's like, Regan. Eyes just right. Hair just right. Everything just right. Everything just right. Wait till you see her in a bathing suit. That's something, brother.
She isn't wearing one in this picture.
Bad picture, Regan. You got no idea how bad. Hardly looks like her, like she is. Ever met him like that?
Sometimes.
About a year ago, I was sitting right here and the phone rings. It's Carmen. You know, we talked about...
football.
Marriage. We were going to be married, Regan, only she decided all of a sudden she didn't want it. Just like that. It was her idea. I haven't seen her since.
You try?
Once. She moved. No forwarding address, that's all.
Makes good story.
But you don't believe it. Now, let me tell you the reason we broke up. It's a dilly.
My hearing's good.
Well, you heard about the happy couple, but the guy keeps getting loaded, can't lay off. This is different. Big switch.
Carmen.
Yeah. Yeah, Carmen.
And why she was seeing a doctor?
Carmen seeing a doctor? Look, why don't you get out of here?
Why?
Because we don't like each other.
The sister thinks something might have happened to Carmen. She's scared.
Some of us are scared part of the time, and then somebody makes a lot of noise looking for somebody, then everybody gets scared. You scared, Regan?
Yeah.
Oh? About what?
Carmen Santino? I might be looking too late. Well, what he gave me filled in the cast, but the plot wasn't getting any clearer. So I looked up the doctor Carmen had mentioned in her letter. His name was Kingston, and the only address was a place out in Encino. It was a ranch house spilled all over the top of the hill like whipped cream. Figured he was getting over ceiling for his pills. I parked my car by the gate and followed the flagstones up to the front door. When I pressed a button, I heard something that sounded like chamber music. A blonde girl wearing a red dress that must have been riveted for her opened the door about the middle of the second chorus.
Well, oh, I like Blue Serge. It has an effect on me.
It was the only thing in the closet.
You fill it out nice, but you don't look sick.
I want to see the doctor anyway.
Come in and we'll talk about it. My, you are tall, Mr.
Regan.
Regan.
Who are you? Florence Nightingale?
I hold the doctor's stethoscope. My name's Vivian Lytell.
Mind telling him I'm here?
Yes, he's busy.
So are you, lady.
He'll be busy quite a while. He just opened another bottle.
Well, I'm right on time.
You're so eager.
Oh, wait.
Rex isn't sociable like me. He drinks alone. He gets more that way. Let me entertain you.
Easy, Angel. I don't know how to fix a fracture.
I've already got a man who can do that. I want one with brains.
What's the matter with the doc?
He keeps his in a bottle. Hasn't used him for a long time now.
He's done all right.
This? He'd be selling papers if his wife hadn't left him a good insurance policy.
What's the matter? Don't you like his money?
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's just that a girl has feelings, too.
Yeah. They show.
Oh. I'm glad I met you. We're going to have some nice afternoons.
But you work for a living.
I got lots of free time. Besides, I should have at least one outside interest.
Keep looking. You'll find one.
You smile good, but you talk nasty.
I only came to see Kingston.
There's the phone. Call and make an appointment. Now get out.
Vivian, about this... Oh, I didn't know you had company. I'll talk to you another time.
Just a minute, Doctor. This is Mr. Regan. He's your company, but he doesn't have a business card.
Look, Mr. Regan, I'm no longer in practice, just doing research on my own. I have all the medical equipment I can use, and I turned all my patients over to another doctor.
I know one you forgot.
Oh? Well, tell me who.
Carmen Santino.
Carmen Santino.
Go ahead, Vivian. I'll speak to Mr. Regan.
Watch yourself, Greg. He doesn't know how to be nice.
It'll only take a minute.
I'll crack some ice. You'll need a drink.
Very fine nurse.
Yeah. It's a nice uniform.
Working on my own, we're very casual. You said I had a patient named Carmen what was it?
Carmen Santino.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, Mr. Regan. Who told you that?
I read about you in a letter.
Must have been another Kingston.
There's only one with a license.
Are you a relative of this girl?
Friend.
You're a detective, aren't you?
Yeah. Want to show me your files someday?
Why not today? This way. I keep them right here in my lap. Help yourself, Mr. Regan.
Thanks.
Want a drink?
Too early.
You don't mind if I have one?
Your house.
Find anything?
Not under Santino. Could have used another name.
That's possible. When was I supposed to have treated her?
Oh, about a year ago, according to this letter. Yeah. This is a picture.
No. I've never treated anyone who looks like that.
Sure.
Positive. What was her illness?
Might have had something to do with that stuff you're drinking. They, die from it sometimes.
I see. You can't see it from this window, but just over the hill, my wife's buried. I had special permission from the county to bury her on my property. She was a great comfort to me when she was alive. I haven't been the same since she passed away, and well, that's why I'm no longer in practice.
I didn't ask for that.
But you did, with your eyes. You're a strange man. Do you enjoy making a living this way, prying into other people's lives, searching for what's best left alone?
Is he still here, Rick?
Yes, Vivian, but he's just leaving. You can find your way.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Blue Serge. You were a real disappointment.
Don't give up. I'll be back.
Don't bother, Regan. The doctor will be out.
All right, that is the first portion of Jeff Regan Investigator, June 18, 1950, starring Frank Graham. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All righty. Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah, you know, Lisa's not going to be here on December 23rd and 24th,
it's
Saturday.
It's Christmas Eve.
That's
yeah,
no excuse.
She's not going to be
That's
here.
No excuse.
Well, I'm going to Florida that weekend.
And you're going to miss the snow? Come on. It's not Christmas then.
What am I
then?
Thinking, right?
You're crazy.
It is a way better Christmas over there in Florida. All I need is some palm trees.
Your fans, your listeners and your fans are here in the snow.
Well, you know what?
Hopefully they'll all have heat holders.
I will call in and we'll chit-chat a little bit. What?
I don't know if we'll accept the charges.
I won't call collect, I promise.
Oh, really? Last time you did.
I don't even know you can do that anymore.
She's going
to.
You know how many shows I've missed, Roger, in the 3 years we've been doing this? That's right.
Zero.
Just remember that number, zero.
Zero.
Well, luckily for me.
Through thick and thin, through sickness and in health.
Well, I'm taking Christmas Eve off, just saying. And you know what?
What?
You should, too.
No. I'm doing this show.
No.
All right.
I'll be here.
You'll be here.
This is priority numero uno.
Well, then you and Roger have a date.
All right. There we go.
I won't go that far.
All right. We're listening to Jeff Regan, Investigator. Here's the conclusion.
The whole thing looked phony, like a fan dancer in long underwear. But when I left the two of them, I was beginning to get an idea, just beginning. I walked over the side of the hill to look at the grave. It was there, all right, like he said. Irene Kingston, 1922, 1948. Maybe that explained it. Maybe it didn't. I was remembering those New York labels I'd seen on Irene Santino's clothes when I left there and looked up a friend of mine in the CAA. He checked into it and told me nobody named Santino had come in from Rio on any flight last week. And the immigration people didn't have a passport or a visa record on her either. I was home thinking about all this when my phone began ringing. It was Irene Santino. She did all the talking.
I tried to get you at your office, Mr. Regan, but no one answered. I had to speak to you.
What about?
I found Carmen.
Yeah?
Rather, Carmen found me. feel sort of foolish now, calling you people in and all that. Well, she came right to my apartment, can you imagine? She's been looking for me.
What about her address?
Oh, that was another silly thing. Only it was a mistake. She's not very good at details. Please thank Mr. Lyon for his kindness. And, Mr. Regan.
Yeah?
It's all confidential. I wouldn't want any of this to get to the wrong people.
You know some of the wrong kind?
Doesn't everyone? Well, goodbye.
Oh, Jeffrey, you run any expenses on the Centino thing?
No.
Good, good. It's all over.
Well, how do you know? She just...
just came from missing persons. There's a cop there named Perini. Got an eye like an eagle.
Talk sense.
Had that other picture of the Centino dame with me. He took one look at it and opened up a file.
What kind of file?
Dead and unclaimed.
What do you mean?
The county buried her. Carmen Centino's been dead a year.
Well, there were enough angles to write a new geometry book. Irene Centino gave me a picture and a letter and started me digging for her sister, Carmen. I meet a guy with a piano and a doctor with a bottle. Everybody talks, but nobody says anything. And then Irene calls me off, says she found her sister. Only the Lion walks in with a different version. Missing persons say Carmen Centino's holding down a spot in the county cemetery. Well, I figured somebody was having nightmares. I didn't say anything to the Lion and went down to the Hall of Records. There was a little guy sitting at the desk in vital statistics. His fingernails were dirty and he was reading a dictionary. He must have been at a good park because he looked mad when I interrupted him.
We're not on a bus. Quit shoving.
I want some information.
I'm a public servant. That's what I'm here for. What kind of information?
Get to the death files, will you?
You're a morbid guy. We got a lot of stuff on births and marriages. Ask me something about that.
A girl named Carmen Centino died about a year ago. Tell me what from.
Okay, okay. How do you spell it?
Just like it sounds.
Centino, huh? Sabatini, Sanaki, Sanford. That's what happened to old Sandy. No wonder I ain't seen him around.
Come on, get with it, William.
Here it is. Centino. Date of death, 15 October, 1948. Cause of death?
Alcoholic poisoning.
Yeah. How'd you get it?
Never mind. Who signed the certificate?
Rex J. Kingston, M.D.
Okay. Here's one more for you. Look up Irene Kingston.
The doc's wife?
Look it up.
Okay, okay. Kingsley? Here. Kingston, Irene. 13 October, 1948.
Cause of death?
You guessed it again. The same. Alcoholic poisoning. Hey, this guy couldn't keep a patient.
That filled it in. I could see the plot, but I wasn't sure of the ending. So I didn't waste any time getting over to Irene Santino's place. But I wasn't fast enough. The door was halfway open when I got there. All the company had left, but Irene was still around. She was sitting there looking at the phone, like it was all she had to think about.
Mr. Regan.
What's so funny?
Everything. Everything, Mr. Regan. Oh, excuse me for not getting up. I didn't expect you. I told you I found my sister, didn't I?
Yeah, you told me, but you didn't tell me she was dead.
I didn't even tell you that I haven't got a sister. Did I? Did I?
Come on, lady, give it to me. What are you talking about?
Look, this little red spot on my arm. Doesn't look like much, does it? But just wait, Mr. Regan. You just wait. You just wait. Wait, wait.
I found a doctor on the floor below. He grabbed his black bag and went to work on her. She quieted down to a slow inside giggle, then went out altogether. The doctor got hold of an ambulance and carted her off to a hospital. They just wheeled her out the door when the Lion showed up.
Jeffrey, did I see an ambulance out front?
That's right. Your client was in it.
What?
Yeah, somebody stuffed her full of something that made her giggle.
I don't understand all this at all. I stopped by home to change to my dark suit so I could come by and bring Miss Centino the news of her sister's death, and what do I walk in?
You can save your tears, Fatso. She didn't come from Brazil, and she wasn't rich.
That woman gave me $200 cash. There was nothing unreliable about her. We had a contract.
You can use it for confetti.
Now, see here, Jeffrey.
Look, Lyon, look at this picture.
Carmen Santino. I have one just like it.
All right, draw some glasses on it. Add about 6 or 7 years.
I don't understand you, Jeffrey. We're talking business, and all at once we're playing games.
When I came to see her tonight, she wasn't wearing her glasses. She looked a lot like the dame in this picture.
Well, of course she did. Naturally. That's her own sister.
She never had a sister.
Never had a sister? Then who did the county bury?
That's what I'm going to find out from a guy named Rex Kingston.
I had a feeling you'd be back. I built a fire.
I forgot the marshmallows.
Come on in. I'm not mad anymore.
I'm still looking for your doctor.
Let me take care of you. I have a way with men.
Didn't we do all this once before?
Oh, it's night now. You can ask me some questions. I know some swell answers.
I'll bet.
How do you like your drink?
Your way?
That's better. Now... let's have a nice, quiet evening. Just you and me.
I want to see him.
There's been a famine of men like you.
You don't look underfed. I said I want to see him.
Oh, all right. We could have had such a nice evening. Rex!
What is it?
Mr. Regan's here again.
Yes, yes. Hello, Regan. Didn't I tell you I'd be out?
Yeah, you told me that, but you didn't tell me what I wanted to know. I had to go to vital statistics to get that.
You... what?
You don't have anything in your files about Carmen Santino, but you signed her death certificate.
Now, you get this, Regan. You saw my files once, and I don't have to open them again to anyone who comes here without a warrant, and you haven't got one.
But I know where I can get one. When I go to the city attorney's office and tell them what I've got, they'll have somebody out here to exhume that grave on the hill.
What do you mean, Regan?
Irene Kingston died 2 days before Carmen Santino of the same thing. Dr. Kingston signed both certificates. He collects on his wife's insurance, only I don't think his wife really died. I think that extra grave up on the hill is window dressing.
And if my wife didn't die, Regan, where is she now?
I don't know. She could be at a downtown hospital, posing under the name of Irene Santino. It was a shot in the dark, but it brought results. Kingston swung a lamp piece around that connected on the side of my head. When I came to, I was in a white room, back of the house. Tried to move my head, but it felt like a grand piano. Nothing else worked either, so I just lay there. Pretty soon somebody began putting something damp on my face, and I began to see better. Vivian was standing there with Kingston. He looked sick, like an ostrich with a sore throat. He had a needle in his hand.
I can't.
You can do it all right, Rex. Go ahead.
It's the same treatment you tried to give Irene?
You should have stayed out, Regan.
I wanted one more look at you, baby.
I hate to see the nice ones go, but it'll be all over in a minute. All right, Rex.
Give me a drink, Vivian. Gotta have a drink.
It won't help. I found Irene in time. She's gonna live. She's gonna talk.
Go ahead, Rex. Give it to him. Then we'll clear out.
But Irene's still alive. I didn't kill her. I didn't kill her.
You'll do better this time.
I can't. I can't.
Go ahead.
No. No, I won't.
I said go ahead or I'll shoot you, Rex. I'll shoot you if you don't.
No, you don't. It's all over, Vivian. It's all over.
Vivian had the gun, but Kingston was too much for her. All of a sudden, it began going off. Vivian started to look pale. And then she went down, slow and easy.
Oh, you... oh.
She deserved it.
That what you're going to tell the state?
Regan... is Irene really going to live?
That's what the doctor says.
Good, good, Regan. No, no, don't try to move. I gave you a shot of preparatory solution. You won't be able to move for another hour. I suppose I ought to run.
You won't get far.
I know. But listen to me. Irene, she's my wife. She's innocent of all this. When you tell the police the real story...
I haven't got it all.
You had enough?
It started with Carmen Santino.
She stumbled in one night. She was very ill. She dropped dead before I could do anything for
her. Alcohol?
Yes. But before she died, she kept talking about a man named Martin.
Lives over on Laurel.
Yes, I was going to get in touch with him. But I had a better idea. She looked a great deal like my wife, Irene. It was quite remarkable.
The insurance.
Yes. Irene didn't want to do it, but she loved me, so she finally disappeared. I used one body for 2 death certificates and buried an empty box up on the hill. I was supposed to join Irene later.
See. Vivian.
Yes. Vivian came along. I was drinking one night and she found out the truth. I was trapped.
It would have stayed that way if Irene hadn't hired you.
And I was supposed to scare you with that story about a sister in Brazil.
It worked, too.
That guy Martin said, somebody gets scared. And then you...
Regan, can you hear me?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Stuff's making me sleepy.
It'll wear off. I'm going now, Regan. See that Irene gets a fair shake.
I'll try. He picked up a bottle and started out the door. He didn't even look down at Vivian's body on the floor. I tried to move. Like he said, nothing worked. It was 2 more hours before I could get to the phone and call homicide. It was 2 more days before I talked to the lion.
Sure, sure. I'm sending it right over. Yes, of course. Of course. Jeffrey, my boy, how are you feeling? Better?
Well, the fog's gone out of my head, if that's what you mean. Otherwise, I feel lousy.
Oh, don't take it so hard, my boy. All in a day's work. Besides, there's the brighter side. Yes, indeed.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, they got that Dr. Kingston. He only got as far as Las Vegas. Crime doesn't pay, Jeffrey. Crime just does not pay.
Doesn't, huh? What's this?
Now, wait a minute. Give me that.
Application. Consolidated insurance.
It's nothing, I tell you.
You mean to tell me we're going to try to collect a reward?
We exposed an insurance fraud. Every insurance company pays a little something for that. We had expenses. You don't know how hard I've worked on this, Jeffrey.
Here, take it back.
Well, what's the matter? You look like it's something illegal.
Crime does not pay.
Jeff Regan, Investigator, is directed and transcribed by Sterling Tracy and stars Frank Graham as Regan, with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Tonight's script was by E. Jack Newman. Original music is by Dick Arant. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's Jeff Regan, Investigator, June 18th, 1950. They've got More Than Coffee in Brazil, starring Frank Graham. Also in that cast, Frank Nelson. Hope you enjoyed that.